Thank you so much for listening to the Midlife Rewired podcast. If this content is useful to you, please subscribe, rate, and share with your friends and loved ones. Welcome to the Midlife Rewired podcast, episode 18. I'm here with Amber Codling. Amber, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Brian.
So Amber and I have been back and forth for a little while trying to align our schedules to do this. You know, there's a lot of similarities sort of in our fitness journeys. And, you know, we've kind of actually grew up sort of near the same area of each other. And so today we're going to get into to mindset, sort of that midlife mindset. So, so Amber, are you 40 now, or did you turn 40 yet?
Brian, I turn 40 tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
This is my last day of my 30s, and I'm really living it up. So.
Well, you know what? Now it's going to be forged into history forever in this podcast.
Yes.
So the last day of your 30s.
Yeah.
So. All right. So, so how are you feeling about that?
Well, you know, I've gone through stages with turning 40, because 40 was a big number for me growing up, because I remember my mother turning 40 and this massive party that was thrown for her, and driving into the laneway and someone had put this huge kind of bed sheet banner across our barn that said, "Lordy, Lordy, look who's 40." And I remember thinking, "Oh my God, my mom's 40. She's so old." It was like a hit to the heart, right? So, and now here I am. So I'm feeling good now. You know, I'm excited to, I have high expectations for my 40s. I really do. I want to accomplish stuff in my life and live life to the fullest and just make the best of it. So, yeah.
Well, that sounds like a good mindset going into your 40s. Now, that's funny you mentioned remembering your parents turning 40. I remember as well, and they did seem much older to me than now, that's for sure, right?
Yep, yes.
So any big celebrations happening this week, or what are you going to do?
We're going for dinner at Planta tomorrow night. I haven't been there. I've wanted to go. As you know, Brian ate a plant-based diet. So
yes.
That's a place I've wanted to try. So I'm going to be going there with my whole family. So that'll be nice. My parents and siblings, and I think some aunts and uncles and a bit of extended family, but that's about it. At first I thought I didn't really want a big party. Now that I'm closer to it, I'm like, you know, maybe I should have had a party, but it's okay. Maybe next year I'll do that. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect. So that's a good jump off point there. So you are vegan currently, correct? Not vegetarian.
Yep. Yeah. I am. I sort of like to use, I tend to kind of go to, when people want to talk about it, more to, I'm more plant-based, I would say. The one thing that makes me not 100% vegan is that I still eat chocolate. I'm a chocoholic, and I have chocolate every weekend. So that is the one thing that probably has a small percentage of milk in it, if any, that I do still eat. So, and people tend to have kind of a bad view of the label vegan. It's kind of all or nothing, feels very extreme to people, feels very kind of like a bubble, I guess. You're either in the bubble or you're not. And I don't believe that's the way it should be, essentially. I think people can commit to something different, you know, in different ways. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of good evidence on plant-based diets being healthy, and Game Changers came out. I think there's been some things that were debunked within that. But I think at the same time, the vegan community in some cases, you know, are there's a lot of activism there as well.
Yes.
That makes a lot of noise around it. But, you know, I mean, so in terms of fitness, now that's always been something that's interesting, because I know your take on protein and, you know, the feeling that we have to, as you know, in bodybuilding and fitness, you have to have extreme amounts of protein. Yeah. I mean, you've competed, you know, we both started kind of late, but we kind of did the same shows around the same time. And, you know, in being full vegan, like, you seem to carry plenty of muscle. So that's not an issue for you.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, I know when you read statistics about muscle, you know, that kind of classic, well, you know, 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, and somebody who's into more bodybuilding style, you know, exercise, they generally say about, you know, 1.2 grams. And I mean, I don't consume either of those, to be honest. I am probably closer to the 0.6, 0.7 grams of protein per pound of body weight. And I gain muscle on that. And I know a lot of people would sit here and say, oh, that's not possible. That's impossible. But I mean, I'm not a scientist. I don't know, but my body does it. And I don't know what sort of to attribute to that. I guess could be my genetics. I'm not sure, but my body functions well on that. So yeah.
Right. Well, you go to the gym. I mean, you said you go at least 5 days a week. Your routine, I guess, daily. Like, you're an early morning routine as well.
Yeah. You and I have talked about that before. I'm a 4 a.m. person, and I like to go to bed early, and I like to start my day in kind of quiet and before the world wakes up. So I get up at 4, I give myself about an hour at home, and then I go to the gym. So that's sometimes it's Monday to Friday. Right now, because of the way I'm training right now is really intense. So I am giving myself a break midweek and now training into the weekend sometimes. So that changes with kind of where I am in terms of my goals and the style of training that I'm doing. So yeah. So right now I'm looking at about, I train 3 days, take a day off, train 2, take a day off. That's how I'm sitting right now.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's the early morning thing. Anybody who's listens to me, hears me preaching about this all the time, but it is, once you get used to that early to bed, early waking schedule, it's so magic. I mean, that morning silence, as you put it, being able to have that silence and that peace and that space in the morning before you go into your day just gives you so much more resilience for what's to come.
Yes, I totally agree. You're really setting yourself up, you know, for your day. And especially, like, you're a parent, I'm a parent, and you can really get that. Mornings can be loud and they can be chaotic and hectic once children wake. And I want to be prepared for that. So I want to have gotten up and kind of done my work and had my time. And then I'm ready to, you know, to deal with those things, right? Children, getting them off to school and going to work. So, yeah.
So are you training? You said you're training fairly intensely right now. Is that,
I am.
What's your goal currently, and are you competing this year?
I am competing. I'm 95% sure I am competing this year. I'm going to do nationals again, and I'm going to my ultimate goal is I would like to get my IFBB pro card this summer. That's kind of my big goal. It's what I visualize, and it's what I, you know, I see when I'm training. At least if, you know, if that doesn't happen, then I would like to place first in my category. Last summer I did nationals. It was my second show, and I placed third. So
right.
I would like to at least win my height category and then see where that goes. So yeah.
Yeah, well, that's great. So that's, I mean, it's always exciting when you've got something in the calendar like that, because, you know, every day you're in there, you know, you're pushing a little harder for that reason.
Yep.
How do you, now, if you don't have a competition coming up, how do you stay motivated to push every single day? Because I think a lot of people kind of go in and they drift through the motions without that real intensity. How do you stay focused when you don't have a competition?
Well, I'll tell you, I share often that strength training for me, you know, when I first started weightlifting, and that was in my teens, it was as you know, for aesthetics, right? Like to look good. And, you know, you're a teenager, you're a young person in your 20s, that's kind of what the focus is. But then it became more, as time went on, mental. And that's what it is for me. So, you know, I'm always working on myself physically, because I think most people in fitness are never satisfied, you know, with how we look, and we always have goals. But for me, it's my mental health. It's my well-being. It really is. If I don't work out for a few days, if I'm off kind of for a week, I really can tell that it affects me. So I do that to keep myself in a good place. Yeah, physically and mentally. That's really key for me.
Yeah. And you know what, I'm the exact same way for me. It's such a mental game. Mm-hmm. And even going in and just lifting heavy someday, I don't lift heavy every time I train. I mean, at my age, and I have, you know, to ensure I'm getting the recovery and all of the damage I've done to my joints over the years. But going in and lifting heavy and pushing yourself through that barrier, the feeling after is just phenomenal. As you know, it's just such a balancer. It just melts the bullshit away.
Yes,
and
it does.
Just has such full clarity. You feel so good after.
Mm-hmm. You really do.
So discipline is a big part of all of this, of course. I mean, eating clean and training consistently. Have you always been a disciplined person?
Yes and no. It's like the whole thing. If you visit that, the idea of mindset, when we talk about, you know, fixed mindset versus growth mindset, which I'm sure you're really familiar with. I mean, it's not all or nothing, right? So it's the same with discipline. Like sometimes I think, no, you know what? I'm not a super disciplined person, but I think I'm not a super disciplined person in some parts of my life, but in other areas like fitness and, you know, and maybe some other things, I am very disciplined. And I use that discipline, which is something that, you know, I think is practice and it's learned. And that's what gives me the tools to bring that into other areas of my life. So I learn discipline, you know, in my fitness. I'll give as an example, because that's kind of the platform we're using. You know, I discipline myself each week to stay focused, drive hard in the gym, and then that is applied to other things throughout my day, right? So it's kind of a wheel, I think, that just goes kind of full circle. It's there sometimes, it's turning fast sometimes, and other times it can slow down, right? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, it is an anchor, I think, into so many other things that you know, in our lives, where they say that, like, a lot of the habits in our gym, you know, you can, if somebody's dedicated in the gym and training all the time, you know, if you look at other parts of their life, they reflect that as well. So that's
right.
A great point. So
that's right.
You recently posted a video, which I thought was interesting, and it was kind of willpower versus motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you walk us through that?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been a personal trainer part-time, and I've taught strength training classes for about 4 years. And I find, you know, just in conversation with people that I've worked with, or people that reach out to me often, even just through Instagram, one of the biggest things people will say, and I'm sure you hear it, is, oh, you know, I wish I had your willpower. You know, I wish I had that, because then I would get to the gym every day. And I really believe that willpower is, people give it too much strength. Willpower is a very short-term feeling, that I also believe is incredibly, it's a very draining energy. So it's like a short outburst, you know. So you're standing in line at a bakery. Oh my gosh, I want to eat those 4 pieces of chocolate cake. Willpower is, okay, you know what? I'm not having it right now, because I know I'm going to be, you know, going out for dinner tomorrow night, and probably indulging in a dessert then. Willpower is that little burst. And I don't believe that you're going to wake up Monday morning with it. You know what I mean? It's not something that we need to rely on to create growth in our life. Like, so if it's fitness, you know, I want to get going into fitness. I want to get driven to get myself to the gym. Willpower has nothing to do with it. It's kind of a BS word. I really feel that. Motivation is, I sort of say the same thing. If somebody says, well, I don't have the motivation. Well, nobody has motivation every day. I mean, nobody wakes up every morning and says, my God, you know, I'm so motivated. I'm motivated to do this. I'm motivated to do that. Motivation is earned. And for me, you know, when talking about the whole mental thing with training, that's a big thing that I recognize in myself, is that I earn motivation, and I earn it by going to the gym, you know, creating those behaviors, you know, those habits, and working hard, being accountable. And that is what kind of creates motivation. It's like, okay, let's take the old show Wheel of Fortune. Okay. Some people will know what that is. People will be like, what are you talking about? But anyway, you know, people, you go to spin that giant wheel, right? And it's like, it kind of starts slow, but then it sort of speeds up. And then it eventually slows down and stops. That's kind of how I view motivation. You have to start, you got to push yourself. And then eventually the motivation kind of takes over and starts turning the wheel a little bit, right? But you have to keep working at that. If you let the wheel go, it eventually stops and falls on something, right? So that's, I guess that's kind of how I view it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting. And when I listened to that, I couldn't help but think either that, you know, motivation is usually generated, you know, by results, which come from that's consistency.
Right. Yes.
Just like it is consistency. So it's like getting up and doing it on the days you don't feel like it, and just doing it, keeping yourself accountable, keeping that promise to yourself, which also improves your confidence.
That's right.
Yeah. So I thought that was a really interesting sort of comparison there. That,
yeah.
Because people do talk about that, like it's some kind of tangible thing that I'm going to give you. And now you're going to go do it. Well, no, you got to intend to do it and be accountable to doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, stopping and starting doesn't create that momentum, which gives you the, you know, the results.
No,
creates motivation.
So. No, I always say kind of, you know, with, when it comes to training, in my mind, there are kind of three key sort of foundational pillars. And those are number one, consistency, number two, moderation, and number three, which this one I really feel is overlooked, is compliance. And, you know, extremes, when people jump into fitness or a diet or whatever it is, and again, you know about this because you've prepped for a show and, you know, you've seen this around you. And in the gym, people joining the gym and going at it hard, you know, extremes are way easier than moderation, right? It's way more difficult to create moderation. So that, you know, I'm going to take small steps. I'm going to create those, you know, healthy behaviors, healthy habits. I'm going to choose ways to make this happen, make work, you know, fitness, working out happen in my life that I can stick to, you know what I mean? I'm not kind of going at it hard, fast, and then burning myself out. Right. I want to create something that is long lasting, because that's where the true rewards come, right?
Yeah.
That's where we change mentally. And that's.
Speaking of changing mentally, so this, you know, I'm just thinking of my own experience as well. Tell me how you felt before you did your first show versus, you know, the confidence that it brought you once you did your first show and then did very well. Like what was like sort of the before and after with your mindset?
So I love that question, because when I did that first show, I learned so much about myself that I never expected to experience when I committed to the show. So Brian, I never had any intention of doing a show. In fact, I was kind of very turned off of the whole scene, to be honest with you. I thought, my gosh, like, especially in bikini, you know, it's all hair and glitter. And I just thought that's not really me. And I had switched gyms. I was training at a gym here where I am. It's awesome, Spectrum. And there's a coach there who kind of approached me about the beginning of May. And he said, "Do you compete?" I said, "No." And he said, "I'm telling you, you should. If you committed to it," he's like, "I could probably have you on stage in 4 weeks." He's like, "You really should think about it." And I thought, no, it's not my thing. It's not my thing. And then I was on the Stairmaster, which, you know, you rarely see me on anyway. I don't like cardio, but I was kind of on the Stairmaster and I thought, you know what? Why not create a goal? Like, yeah, you come here every day. You work so hard. You sacrifice a lot to be fit. What do I have to lose? You know what? I'm just going to take it day by day. So I committed to it day by day, Brian. I didn't sign up for the show literally until I think it was 2 days out from it. And I had it there. I had the date there, but I said, I'm not committing to anything. And because I was scared that if I put that pressure on myself, I was going to drop back and doubt myself. And because I have tendencies to do that with things in my life. So day by day. And, the day, you know, the week before the show came, and lo and behold, I felt awesome. I was ready. I signed up and, I took first at that show. And I learned from that, yes, it was awesome to win the show. I loved it because it gave me a great sense of validation that, you know what, Amber, like you work hard and this is the payoff. And it was for myself. It really was. It wasn't beating anybody for me. It was a challenge against my own mindset that you can doubt yourself. I doubted myself 10 times during that prep. But I still kept going. I still kept at it. You know, I would feel maybe doubtful on Tuesday, but I still went to the gym and I still worked hard. And, you know, I had my check-ins on Thursday, and that's kind of how it went. And I found, my God, if I put my mind to something, I do give it 110%. And I had never given myself recognition for that before. I never had.
Yeah. So, isn't that such an amazing thing? And it's such a powerful feeling to have, you know, because our minds, when it comes to something new and, you know, fear comes up, it goes right to the no can do. No. Somebody asks you to do something kind of out of your comfort zone. No, I'm good. You know, just I'll stay in my safe little place here.
That's right.
And then, you know, you step out and you try something like that. And mm-hmm. Wow, man. Like, and it's, yeah, well, that's fantastic that you did that, because, you know, it starts to open up other things in your life. And isn't it interesting too with something like this? I mean, how old were you when you did your first show?
I was 38. Yeah.
38. So here you are 38 after all those years stepping on stage for the first time.
I know. Yeah, it was pretty incredible, actually. It was a really awesome experience. You know, people will still say, "Oh my gosh, was it so hard? Were you so drained? Were you in a terrible mood?" I mean, when I arrived at that show, this was a regional show. When I arrived there, I was, you know, I immediately had that sense walking into the room, like, I don't belong here. Like, I don't fit in with these people. There was a lot of ego in the room. And,
yeah,
you know, I hate to use the term cattiness, but there was a lot of cattiness. There were girls screaming and crying and, you know, carrying on. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, what am I doing here? This is so ridiculous. But then I met these amazing women the day of the show who I'm still in contact with. I've developed friendships with in the industry. And, you know, I hate to use the word proud, because I feel like it comes from the ego, but I was really, I guess maybe more humbled. I was very, like, really, it was such an experience. I learned so much. I was so grateful for it. I was so thankful that I did it, you know?
Yes. Yeah, it is an interesting subculture. And, you know, I felt the same way when I walked into that, you know, when the registration, where all the athletes are there, and that's a little overwhelming mm-hmm. for your first time. And my first one was at 45. So it was but it was interesting once you got into that and, you know, how many guys were coming up, and it was just really quite a nice scene, I thought, back there in the, you know, and it was not what I expected at all, but
no.
So, yeah. So that's interesting. So we talk about self-doubt and, you know, how all of us have that sort of little voice in our head that's trying to hold us back, and, you know, overcoming ourselves and getting out of our own way is such an important thing in life. Mm-hmm. Doing things like this, you know, just kind of show us like, hey, you know, you put that work in, you put the time in, you believe in yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, there you go. Mm-hmm. So do you have any kind of like self-care or self-love rituals? These are things I've been really fascinated with and practicing myself over the last couple of years, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
Well, Brian, when I was listening to one of your other podcasts, I'm not sure what number it was, but it was when it was just one of your own, and you were talking about how you know, art was a big part of who you were growing up, and you kind of let that go. You're a very creative person, and that's the same for me. I mean, I have an arts background, and I neglected it since I was you know, in my early 20s, and that I've brought back into my life, and because I really knew I was missing it. So I am painting again. I love charcoal, actually, so I've been doing a lot of that. That's self-care for me. As you know, we've talked about before, hiking, being in nature. I grew up in nature. I grew up on a farm in Cavan. I'm not a city kid. Self-care for me is being away from cars and houses and noise and people. So hiking for me is huge. It's that really is probably one of my biggest self-care things. My diet is another thing. I mean, I eat very healthy. Do I still enjoy eating treats? Oh my gosh, yeah. Like I every weekend you can guarantee that at some point I'm on the couch with a bag of chips. So it's like, you know. But I keep boundaries with that stuff, right? So, but yeah, no, I mean, I have daily, I guess, self-care rituals. Again, training is a huge one for me. I view that as my biggest self-care ritual, which I practice daily. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Are you doing any kind of formal meditation right now?
No. And interestingly enough, that's been something. So my husband has also been really going through a big shift in his life, and so have I. We're both going through kind of very similar things, and I've been reading a ton, especially by Wayne Dyer, who I'm sure you're really really familiar with. And oh my gosh, you know, I love everything to do with him. So we listen to Wayne Dyer meditation every night. It's the same one that he created. But my husband and I both have expressed that, you know, we know we need meditation in our life, but as you're so familiar with, we've tried it before. And it's like, I sit there and my mind runs and runs and runs and runs. And I get so frustrated. And I think, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm frustrated, and you know, I just kind of give up on it. But no, that's something that we are literally just said today, driving, that we are committed to bringing into our lives. Like we really are drawn to it. Like we need it.
Yeah, I think everybody does, and it is very frustrating at first. And when we get frustrated with ourselves, you know, we're not really. Kind of like the self-love things kind of goes aside a little bit. And then it's almost impossible then to slow your thoughts because you're in that sort of frustrated state. But because of your early morning routine, the way it is, even protecting like 15 minutes between that 4 and 5 a.m. piece before you go to the gym would be a perfect opportunity to just find a little time just to find your breath and kind of anchor. But it's just like the gym. Amber, it's like, it's, you know, you imagine just going there, never training before, you know, you go in, you try to do something, you don't know what you're doing, you're really sore. And that's where people kind of stop and start right there. So,
yes. Yeah.
So certainly something to, but I mean, you're listening to Wayne Dyer. That's amazing. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, it's just about kind of being self-aware and quieting your mind and non-judgmental in the moment. Just to close things off, I'd be, now that you're on the eve of your 40th birthday, which is amazing, what advice would you give your 20-year-old self, Amber, as you turn 40?
Well, I went through a lot in my 20s. And I think it's probably, I mean, it sounds cliche, but it is to be gentler on yourself. And I really wish I had have loved myself more in my 20s. That's a really big regret for me. It is. And I know we shouldn't live with regret because, you know, the past doesn't change anything in the present. But I wish I had been gentler with myself. And so that would be my number one thing, is to love yourself and forgive yourself. I forgive others. I am a naturally very forgiving person. I'm a naturally very accepting person, and I see good in everybody, but I have a hard time doing that with myself. And that is something that I've been working on, and, you know, trying to really to kind of change in myself. And yeah, I guess that's it. I mean, I just wish I had started that a long time ago. And go for stuff. Don't, even when you doubt yourself and you doubt things, just step into it. Just take the step, you know, because same thing, I didn't do that. And I let other people's opinions of me, I really let them affect me. And I shouldn't have done that. So yeah, but you know what? 40s, everyone tells me 40s are your best years. So I have high hopes. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to, you know, the afternoon of my life, I guess, is how
yeah.
I
put
it. Yeah.
Well, I think that's great advice. And the fact that you are self-aware of those things, mm-hmm. you know, going into your 40s, this should be a fantastic decade for you.
So I hope so.
It's amazing.
I hope so.
So Amber, so I didn't know that you were competing this year. I'm super excited to follow along with that. What's your Instagram for anybody who wants to follow your fitness journey?
It is Amber Codling Fitness, and Codling is Codling. Yeah. And I would love for you guys, anyone to follow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that IFBB Pro card, it's right there. So I'm
I hope
excited
so
for you. Yeah.
I hope so. I visualize it every morning. So, you know, my first time competing, I went into that show visualizing that I was going to win it. I did. And last summer I went in visualizing that, you know, I think I can get into top three, and I did. So I feel like if I, you know, I come into it with that, then I hopefully will have a good chance at it this year. And that's for myself. It's not to beat anybody. It's for me.
Powerful. All right, Amber. Well, happy birthday once again. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me.